I want to continue the theme that we've been thinking about and addressing for the last couple of weeks and kind of wrap that up today. And it's very appropriate for us that we're doing that this morning, and particularly for those of you that are guests. Because what we've been talking about and thinking about as a church is, how can we be more welcoming? How can we be as loving and welcoming as possible to people who don't have a church home? People who don't have a family like this, a church community to which they belong. Because we really, truly want to welcome all people. And Jesus did that, of course, and we want to be like him. So today, I want to draw your attention to the text. I put it in the bulletin. If you have that bulletin, the little song sheet, just look at the very front cover. And the verses I want to talk about are right on that front page. And I want to read them for you, and then I'm going to pray and just unpack those verses for a few minutes. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he said, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?" Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we are so grateful today. We know that this day, the beauty of this morning in this space right now, is your favor, your gift, your goodness to us. And we acknowledge that. And we know that all good things come from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from your hand. We know that every spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus Christ comes because of your love for us. And now today, as we think about the task you've given us of representing you well, right here where you've placed us, and being an aroma, the aroma of Christ, to those who have yet to believe, yet to know you, and also to those who do know you, we confess with Paul that who is equal to such a task? That's why we're so grateful that you infill us by your Spirit, that you empower us, you live through us, and that you make possible what you call us to be and to do. We look to you now for your grace, your mercy. We ask you to speak to us. Lord, we ask that you will open our minds and hearts to your presence here, to your reality, to your love for us, that we would know that in a new and profound way as we see Jesus lifted up. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Interesting expression that Paul uses here. He said he's thanking God, who always leads us as captives in a triumphal procession. So Paul's saying, I'm thankful that I'm a captive. And what he's alluding to is the Roman processions. And you might imagine or picture a powerful Roman general coming into Rome with throngs of captives, their heads hanging low, and they're parading them in front of throngs of people as they portray their victory over these people. And Paul is saying here, that's what we are, those of us who are Christians. We're thankful that we've been taken captive by Christ. The Bible's very clear. Paul wrote about it himself, that we were enemies. They're enemies of God, and his love has overpowered them, and now they're captives to his love. And Paul, of course, is talking about his own life, his own apostolic ministry. It all began on that day when he was on the way to Damascus, and he met Jesus in a powerful, profound, completely life-changing way. And from that moment on, he's saying, my life has been like it's on parade. I'm on display. Everyone can see what God is doing. And that continued every single day of his life, from the day he met Christ in Damascus until the day he was martyred. And actually, it's interesting because he uses a phrase here. He said, God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of God everywhere. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The knowledge of God, he said, is like this sweet fragrance. It's like an aroma, a beautiful scent and smell. And God uses those who have been saved, those who have been redeemed, to spread that beautiful aroma. In fact, he goes on to say, we are to God the pleasing fragrance of Christ to those who are outside of the church and to those who are inside the church. It's very interesting that in the first century, Paul's day, often during these processionals, when they would lead the captives and this massive train would come into the city, they would burn incense, different spices to add to the atmosphere. And you probably can imagine what that was like. And Paul now is likening for those who've experienced that and seen that. He's saying that's what it's like for those of us who know Christ. We were enemies of God. We were going the other way, and he revealed himself to us. He took us captive, and now we're following him, and our lives are changed, and they're giving off this radiance, this aroma, this fragrance to all of those who are around. So let me just take a couple minutes and talk about two things that this means for us, especially a church, and specifically now as we think about being a welcoming church. What does that mean for us? Well, one thing it means is that our lives are on display. Now, I've been a pastor for going on 40 years. I raised three kids in a parsonage for many of those years. And I can tell you, it is absolutely true that when you're a pastor, and especially a pastor's kid, you live in a fishbowl. You live in a fishbowl. And often that's not fair. I mean, children, the parsonage are sometimes held to a higher standard than what others might be. But the point is, all of us who name the name of Christ are in a fishbowl. That, my friends, listen, that is God's plan. And you think of your life, if you know Jesus, if you've been saved and you put your trust in him, from that moment on until the day he calls you to glory, every single day, he is using you to influence people around you. And your life, whether you like it or not, is giving off this aroma, the fragrance of Jesus. And hopefully when people come near you, they smell something, and it's really nice, right? They sense something different about you. Wouldn't it be great if all throughout this area, it was known that not us, because it's not about us, it's the fragrance of Christ, not the fragrance of Bob or Wes or Jason. It's not our fragrance, it's the fragrance of Christ. Wouldn't it be great if people said, I went to that church and it's just, there's a presence there. There's a presence there. God is there. And they sense that because of what they see, what they hear, what they feel as they encounter us and as we experience life with them. So we are the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Our lives are on display. The second thing I would just say, and I think this is kind of freeing for us in many ways, being on display like that frees us from putting demands on people. It's not our job to convict people. It's not our job to even convince people about the reality of God or who Jesus is. It's our job to let the fragrance of Christ come out of our life. And yes, we'll talk about Jesus. We might even try to persuade people, but we recognize that we are not God. We are just giving off the aroma of Jesus. And therefore, we invite people. We welcome people. And we pray for God to work in their lives. We pray for God to use us and to use his word and the Holy Spirit to take those things and to bring them to himself. Ultimately, I think what Paul is saying here as he describes and really celebrates the church in Corinth and his own life and ministry is he's saying, We should be like Jesus, because Jesus lives in us. And so the aroma of our lives, the fragrance of our life, the radiance of our life should be that of Jesus. That's ultimately what he's saying. In fact, that is what he said when he wrote the Ephesian church. He said, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us." And here it is. "And he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So the sacrifice that Jesus gave out of his love for you and for me, the Bible says, is a fragrant offering to God. And now, as Jesus dwells in us, our lives are that same fragrant offering of service to God. And I believe that the central theme of that is sacrificial love. It's love, sacrificial love. We give our lives away. We serve people. We recognize that Upper St. Clair Lions Church, listen, our church, this, you, we exist for the sake of those who have not yet come to know Jesus. And it's great that we're together and God blesses us and we have community, we have fellowship, but ultimately we're here to do what Jesus did. He came and gave his life as a ransom for many. And then he said, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And so that's why we exist. And as we give our lives away, as we serve people, as we love people, as we sacrifice and make sacrifices for the sake of others, oh, that fragrance, the aroma of the knowledge of God that is so different than what is experienced in the world will be evident. People will be drawn in. People's lives will be transformed. And God will be glorified. Can I just interject a couple things? We're going to go to eat in a moment. And you can trip me on the way up. Or you can knock me down if you don't like what I say. I'm just going to mention a couple of real practical things. Here's a way you can sacrifice. Here's a way you can demonstrate that the church exists, that we exist for others. Give the best parking places to those who come late and to those who are guests. Can I go one step further? When you come in the building, give the best seats to those who come late and those who are new. You know, those spots right in the front, those are the best. Give them, right? Those are the ones everybody comes in and elbows their way to the front for. Pray before you come to church on Sunday and say, "God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to touch? Who do you want me to bless?" Not in your official assignment for the day in ministry. I remember growing up over in Ohio and going to church every Sunday. There was an older man in the church. As I look back now, he's probably like 45, but he was old to me. And he walked around every Sunday and he had candy in his pocket. I'm not sure it's even the right thing to do anymore. But the idea was, he came prepared intentionally, proactively, to be kind and to love kids and people who come into the church. It was a mindset. I've even read of others who take maybe a $20 bill or whatever it might be, just something, and they put it in their purse, in their pocket, someplace where they'll recognize it, and they do it intentionally, praying, "God, would you just show me who you want me to give that to today as I go to church? Is there a need? Is there some way I can bless somebody? I can give of myself, of the abundance of what you've done for me, I can give to serve other people." Do you see what I'm getting at? It's not the specifics of these acts. It's the mindset. It's the attitude where you come to church recognizing, I'm not going for what's here for me. I'm going to serve and to sacrifice. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to demonstrate the love of God to people that I encounter, both those in the church that I know and the new people that I'm meeting today for the first time. I'm convinced, as we continue to move in this direction, as we continue to think this way and ask God to help us to act like this, that we become more and more welcoming, not only when we gather on Sundays, but in our homes and other environments where God placed us. So today, I'm challenging you to be really, really smelly, okay? To allow the aroma of Christ to come through you to those who need him. There was a woman, her name was Njol Sadunaitė. She's a Lithuanian Christian who was persecuted for her faith in the Soviet bloc many, many years ago. In fact, 45 years ago, she was arrested for publishing reports of persecution of Christians throughout the Soviet bloc. Eventually, she was exiled to Siberia. And her situation, her condition there, became known to several organizations in the West, and so word got out of what was happening to her, and there was a book written about her. And the book was called A Radiance in the Gulag. And her life was like a radiance. It was like this aroma that just came from her there in that dark, frigid, cold, dead-end place. Because it was known that she was there and she was being persecuted, throughout the West, people sent her packages, care packages. And although she was there as a prisoner, she was forced to work and she received meager wages, starvation wages, essentially. And these packages would come, the guards would break the law, it was against the law completely, to charge and to make people pay for a parcel that comes, but they would make her pay for them. Often she would do it. She would take the package, she would open it, recognize and see what it was, and then she would repackage it and send it to some other Christians in other places there in the Soviet bloc that were facing persecution as well. And the guards and the postal workers, they couldn't figure it out. It's like they just couldn't understand what's so different about her. At one point, a number of young girls, part of the youth organization there, they came to speak with her. And they were asking her about this. Why do you do this? She said, I do this because I want to help those who have suffered as I have. They asked her, if we were arrested, would you send us packages? Well, if I knew your address, she said, I probably would. And so it became very known that she was the type of person who put other people before herself, who essentially her life radiated the light, the love, and put forth the aroma of Christ and his sacrificial love. And that's why here today, many, many years later, you still hear about her and what she did. Again, I just think about, and I ask you to think with me, what would it be like if Upper St. Clair Lions Church became known as a place, radiance in the South Hills? It's not about us, but about Jesus. Radiating the love of Jesus. So would you bow your head with me and let's pray and let's ask God to help us to imitate Christ who gave himself as a fragrant offering. Father, we thank you today for your blessing in our lives. We thank you for the privilege you give us to serve you. And we know that life is so short and the opportunities that come along to us are fleeting. And we ask you today to help us to grasp those opportunities and to love people like you love and to care for them as you do, and that we might indeed radiate your love, your light, that we might demonstrate to people who you are. Lord, even today as we mingle, as we share together, may you shine through each of us, one to another. And in this coming week, Father, would you help us to represent you well in the office, the family gatherings, as we're out playing sports or whatever we're doing, Father, that we would represent you well. We thank you for that privilege. God, you are so good. You've blessed us. Thank you that you use us. Weak, ordinary people, use us to demonstrate the love of Christ to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.